This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
So there's a hockey story out there that's very intriguing to me. So everybody who has listened to the show, how long have we been on, Don?
Since 1947.
Mm-hmm. You know that I'm a casual hockey fan.
If that.
And mm-hmm. I try to stay abreast of things because, you know, I owe it to the people that listen to the show that like hockey. And I know Don loves hockey, and I love Don. So I want to have something in common with him. We have so little in common.
Very little.
So the Islanders with a big win yesterday. And they're doing it without one of their best players. But that was not what intrigues me, Donald.
Mm-hmm.
What intrigues me is what seems to be the increasing possibility that the Rangers, who are playing very well despite a poor performance in their last game, they'll play tonight against the Red Wings, the Rangers, who are loaded with stars, seem to have an increasing chance of maybe getting a great player past his prime,
sure,
but still nonetheless a great player in Patrick Kane. So I've read all the permutations of the deal. What he's owed, they can't take on. So they'd have to involve a third team where they would have to give a draft pick to that mm-hmm. team to assume some of the money. So the money coming back, I think the Rangers are a little over $1 million away from going over the cap.
Right.
So that's what they can accept. Dom, what's the likelihood of this, and what would they have to give up for Kane?
I would put it at less than 50 just because you're going to have to try to figure out another team and the money issue. He wants to play. He's got a no-trade clause with the Blackhawks, so he can kind of dictate where he's going to go. He's a free agent at the end of the year. The Blackhawks aren't going anywhere. They want to get something for him. The teams that are involved, you hear Dallas, you hear Vegas, certainly the Rangers involved, and he wants to be a Ranger. You heard him say how disappointed he was when Tarasenko went there and it looked like the door was closed. Now, he's playing very well now. So as far as what they can give up, I mean, Kravtsov's a right winger who's not playing. He's a healthy scratch. He was a high pick that just hasn't lived up to expectations. Maybe the Blackhawks see something in him. Maybe give up a Zach Jones, a young defenseman who's landlocked in Hartford because there's really no place for him to play with the big club. Maybe a pick. I think there's assets there. It's just a matter of finding the other team to make it work financially, and how much are the Blackhawks willing to eat in salary. The Blues were able to eat 50% of Tarasenko's salary to make it work. Would Chicago go that far? Again, they're not going anywhere, but they might see a chance to trade him someplace else where they don't have to make the money work. But will he want to go there? And it seems like the Rangers are right on the top of his list. So I think if you want to be generous, I put it at 50-50.
And so what? How much does he have left in the tank? Can he be a good player for another 3 years?
Yeah, he can be very good. Listen, for what they're going to ask him to do, Michael, because I think they're set. I think their lines are set. The kid line's playing great with Hedl, Lafreniere, and Kako. You know, Kreider, Zibanejad, Vesey. You could probably put Kane on the top line if you wanted to. You could drop Kane to the fourth line if you wanted to and have him play with Mott, who they just acquired from Ottawa, and Gaudreau, who won a Stanley Cup in Tampa. If you wanted to round out like four legitimate lines that can score, or you can drop Vesey to the fourth line to help out there, and Kane can be a top player. There's various places you can put him. He's going to improve your power play that I think has been very stagnant, I think, over the last month or so. And he's got three cups. The only cup winners on this team are Gaudreau that won two in Tampa, and then Tarasenko they just acquired from St. Louis, but he comes with three cups, one of the great American-born players. This would really, Michael, I think they're in the conversation now, but if Kane can stay healthy and contribute, there's no telling what this team could then do with adding a player like that. And now, you wouldn't have to give up anybody on your roster.
In his last four games, he's been red hot, 7 goals, 3 assists, so he's certainly not jogging toward the finish line with the Blackhawks. He's playing hard and playing well and putting on a show, but I guess the Rangers have to weigh, is he going to assure us the Stanley Cup? And nothing assures you. I mean, you still have to get past Boston, and how much do we give up for a rental? And would they want to keep him? Would they be able to keep him?
And Don, is it legit? Would he be legit enough of a piece to potentially get them past Boston?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Now, right now, they've had a little bit of a problem giving up too many goals. They've given up 3 or more goals in the last 8 games, and Shesterkin's been a little off recently. But you add a tech. This was a team that with Kopp and Vetrano went to game six of the conference final. They lost Kopp and Vetrano in free agency. They lost Mott. They got him back. But you're going to add a Kane, add Tarasenko to Zibanejad and Kreider and Panarin. That's enough offense to win. Now, and I think their defense is as good as any in the league. Now, will the goaltending hold up? Will they get the bounces, all the breaks that you need? But right now, Boston is above everybody. They've got a goal differential, Boston, guys, that's double the team that's in second. I mean, that's how good Boston is. But if you want to dance with the Pastrnak, who's got 42 goals, and Bergeron, who's great, and Marchand, it's great, and Hall that's there, and DeBrusk, you're going to need to add some really good offensive players, and I think they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. Toronto's got a great offensive team. You know what Tampa can do. If Shesterkin gets back to anywhere near where he was last year and you had a Tarasenko already with Kane, how are they not in the conversation?
So what line would Kane be on if they got
him? Well, I mean, right now I think he would probably fit. Right now, right, Trocheck, Tarasenko, and Panarin are playing very well. They originally, you know, had Tarasenko up with Zibanejad and Kreider. Jimmy Vesey's the right wing on the top line. He's misplaced there, all right, I think. So you can slide Kane there. You could put Tarasenko back with Zibanejad and Kreider and slide Kane into the second line. And if you wanted to play, because if you want to roll four lines, and what I mean by that is that you have four legitimate lines to go out there and score and be a threat. And right now they don't have that with Lecision, Gaudreau, and Mott. Mott's got speed, though, and Gaudreau's a really good guy on the faceoff. I would have no problem putting Kane there. It would limit his minutes, but it would help round out four legitimate lines that can score. And those are the teams that are really good. That's what Boston can do. Carolina can do that. Tampa's been able to do that, no matter who is on the ice. And right now, when the Rangers' fourth line's on the ice, they're not much of a threat to score. You put Patrick Kane there, and I can play him, maybe keep him fresh if he's only playing maybe 10, 12 minutes. And I can put him on the power. What is he, 34, Anthony? Yeah, 34 years old. So that's not old by any stretch. Now, he's got a lot of games on his belt because he won three Stanley Cups and played a lot, but he's a quasi-local kid, came from Buffalo, wants to play for the Rangers, and the star power, God. Tarasenko, Kreider, Zibanejad, Panarin, Kane. And if you don't have to give up anybody on the current roster, Michael, again, why are you going to be worried so much about picks and prospects when you're a win-now team?
But I keep reading they would not give up. They have one first-rounder left. They traded one for Tarasenko. They would not give up that.
It's tough to then have none, but, God, I'd still be tempted, wouldn't you? I mean, you got a chance to win. And it's not like you're an old team, guys. It's not like you're going to be replacing really too many guys. Kreider's under contract, Zibanejad, Panarin. I don't think I would go as far as to do that. But you might not have to. If he wants out, Michael.
Well, he could help it. He could help the Rangers by telling the Blackhawks, I'm only going to New York.
Right.
Because he has no trade clause.
Now, I guess he could stay in Chicago and just become a free agent, sign anywhere he wants to go. But I think with the teams, like Dallas is a legit cup contender, Vegas, the Rangers. I mean, so if he wants a chance to grab another cup before free agency, before he turns 35 years old, I'm sure he'd want to go. But there's no reason for the Blackhawks to hold on to him, right? Because they're not going anywhere this year. They're just going to lose him for nothing. So I would think unless he's okay to go someplace else and they can get more from someplace else. But if he says, hey, I'm Rangers or I'm staying, then that takes a lot of leverage away from the Blackhawks, and maybe you wouldn't have to give up a first-round pick.
All right, Rangers and the Red Wings tonight right here on this fine station, 98.7. So the pregame's at 6:30. The puck drops at 7. So we move from hockey to basketball. The NBA back in action tonight after the All-Star break. The Knicks and the Nets have one extra day to get ready. The Nets are currently fifth in the Eastern Conference at 34-24, a game and a half behind the Cavs for fourth. The Knicks are currently sixth, two games behind Brooklyn, but only a half game ahead of the Heat. Every NBA team wants to stay from 1-6, so you don't have to be in the play-in. And ironically enough, the Knicks and the Nets are so inextricably linked, they are tied with the seventh toughest schedule, strength of schedule remaining at 5-12. So the Knicks play the Celtics twice and the Heat three times in the remaining 22 games, which could be a big factor in when it comes to fighting for that final playoff spot to avoid the play-in. Now, the Nets play the Cavs twice, the Bucks twice, the Celtics once, and the Knicks and the Nets face off one more time themselves. Brooklyn has two more games left than New York. So Brooklyn has 24 games. The Knicks have 22. So what do you guys think is more likely, the Knicks elevating to fifth or the Nets falling out of the top sixth? And I think that everybody's knee-jerk answer is the Nets falling out of the top sixth. But I don't know if that's a fait accompli. They're a pretty good team. Now, they don't have the star power that they previously had, but they've got decent pieces. So they could get something done, maybe. Maybe they could keep their head above water and stay in the sixth spot. I'm not quite sure. And the one thing that worries me about the Knicks, I think they're a better team since acquiring Josh Hart, but they have been very inconsistent all 3 years. All 3 years that Thibodeau's been here. So, yeah, they were red hot going into the break. But how do they come out of the break? How do they play tomorrow? They're 33-27. The Nets are three games up in the loss column over them. How will the Knicks play? Will they consistently play as well as they did leading into the break? That's the big question. And then you have the Heat, who had a big acquisition with Kevin Love. They're just a skinny half game behind the Knicks in seventh place. So the Hawks have made a coaching change. They are 3.5 behind the Knicks, 3 in the loss column. So it's going to get tight. You could have a scenario where both the Nets and the Knicks are in the 1-6 spot, or the Nets and the Knicks both fall into the play-in.
Well, I think the good news for the Knicks, like, who's really playing out of their mind that you have to worry about is going to come back down to earth? I mean, since the Hart deal, I mean, I think they really thought that Hart was going to play well. I don't think anybody's playing out of their mind. I think as a team, they're playing more cohesive. But is there anybody, Peter, you're worried about that's going to take a drop-off here in the final 20 games and hurt their chances of making the playoffs or the play-in?
I don't know if I'd go out of his mind, but Jalen Brunson has been pretty damn good.
No, right. He's been out of his mind. You're right.
That's he's right on the line of.
But are you worried that he's going to drop off?
I honestly,
or is he just a really good player?
He's exceeded my expectations, Michael. I think you'd agree. Like, I thought he was a nice player coming over here. I don't know that I expected 24 points and 6 assists. But maybe that is who he is. And so I know I have no reason to think he'll drop off. But I also can't say that I wasn't pleasantly surprised. Sorry, what the hell's going on with my microphone? Pleasantly surprised by how good he was, because I think most people were.
Well, let me ask you this, just the overall assessment of where the Knicks are right now. Is there any part of their game that you think is fool's gold?
No, I think that, if anything, they could get better with Mitchell Robinson supposed to play tomorrow. So they were 8-6 without Robinson, and he is really their defensive anchor, and they've played okay without him. And now you've already established that Jericho Sims could play, and Hartenstein's a pretty good player. So the only thing that worries me about the Knicks is that there are people that are playing, right, that might not be able to play anymore. They'll be out of the rotation. They simply will. Guys that have established themselves. We saw it with McBride. He's out of the rotation because of Hart.
And you could make the case that Hart and Brunson could play even better as the season goes on.
I don't think Brunson could play better than us.
No,
but
together.
Hart, you mean together?
As
Hart and Brunson together.
Right.
I mean, he was thrilled to get him. You know, there's chemistry there already from college.
I mean, listen, a couple of weeks ago when the Knicks lost to the Sixers, Michael, Embiid put up 35.
Right.
Your hope is that having Mitchell Robinson back can make an impact in situations like that against a quality big man, that he gives them a presence they just don't have. So, I mean, honestly, without being like that guy, because we were certainly sleeping on this team on this show for most of the first half of the season, I'm kind of with Michael that I could see them even taking another step forward here. We'll see.
Can they get back to what they were a couple of years ago when they were the 4 seed? Yes, I think they can.
I don't think they can. They're not going to catch the Cavs, but they can get to the 5th seed.
But it's still a 4-5 matchup, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you'll still have the same vibe of that 4-5 matchup with a chance to get to the second round. And we were disappointed because Atlanta beat them.
Well, that's the more pressing question. I don't really care. As long as they get out of the play-in, I don't really care where the Knicks land as long as they compete in a playoff series.
No.
What they can't do is lay the egg they laid last time. Like, I take no victory. Mike, I don't know about you. I don't take a moral victory and then making it and losing 4-1 and not competing.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. We go to John in Islip. Johnny.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Wanted to talk about the Patrick Kane. The window is open for the Rangers right now. We got to make this deal. I know Don said 50, you know, on it. I mean, the rumor mill is red hot. I think we're getting them. And then when we roll up Boston, Boston hasn't been tested since December. That's what we need. We need Kane to continue this window. What do you think?
Need is strong, but it would be nice to have. It really would be nice to have. Do I think they're better than Boston? Of course not. Do I think they can beat Boston in a best-of-seven series? Sure, but that wouldn't come until the conference final anyway. But you want to make sure that you can at least get to where you were last year. I think Kane, at least, I think, solidifies that, guys. I mean, right now you take on the Devils in the first round. New Jersey hasn't, you know, been to the playoffs since 2018. Then you take on Carolina, a team you beat last year in the playoffs and have beaten the two times you faced them in the regular season before you would get to Boston. But, you know, need is strong, but, boy, when you have a chance to get that kind of an impact player and you're a win-now team, do you really want to leave anything else on the table? Because I don't – guys, I don't know where else they go. Like, if they don't get Kane, is there anybody else out there they could acquire that could make you go, oh, that's a big-time acquisition? This would be it.
He's probably the biggest name on the market, right?
Yeah, and listen, he's past his prime, but he's still a very good player, but they've already picked up Tarasenko. I don't think they've got – there's no way they have the money for Timo Meyers, so he's not going there. And you know what? You know where he might go, Michael, if he Meyers, if he doesn't go to the Rangers? He might go to the Devils, which is a team that you're pretty much locked into playing in the first round. So that's another motivation to do it. How much better are the Devils going to get at the deadline?
Now, I've got a call for you, Don, if they get Kane.
Okay.
All right, so he scores, and you go, Kane, goal, whatever you say, right? You usually yell goal.
Scores.
Yeah, right, scores. And then you pause before Dave jumps in, and you scream, Kane is able.
I like the concept. I can't imagine me doing that.
Well, Sterling's made a cottage industry of it. You take the name and you make a thing out of it. Kane is able.
That's not my thing.
Well, make it your thing.
Well, no, I don't have to do anything. But I mean, I already have my thing.
John makes an extra living signing baseballs with all his calls.
But that's
so
John Sterling.
You'll sign a puck. Kane is able.
So
you want me to steal somebody else's thing?
And wait, sign.
But you're not saying burn, baby, burn. You're going Kane is able.
And signing, he wanted to sign a hockey puck with someone else's name on it?
Kane is able. Then you put Don LeGrock, DLG.
My thing is kind of repeating the name, so I'm just going to do that with Kane.
Kane is able.
What do you mean your things?
It's biblical, Don. It's biblical.
I'll, you know, just like, you know, Kane down right wing, scores. Patrick Kane.
Is able.
But now I can't do it because – because you gave it to me. I'm not taking requests.
Well,
I'm doing a game.
You didn't request it. It was I gave it to you unsolicited. Run it up to Paul Anthony. Should that be the call? Kane is able. Do it for the people. Let's go to Alex. He's in South Florida. Alex.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was just calling because the more I look at this Yankees infield, you know, there's a lot of players without positions. DJ is healthy, he says, 100%. And, you know, you got Donaldson, Rizzo. I think he'll be taking time off of them, or even maybe Donaldson's the one taking time off of DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got shortstop with Peraza. IKF still is there, obviously. And once you start working Volpe in, do you see any Yankees? Do you see the Yankees making any more moves before the, April, or I guess late March nowadays?
Well, I mean, it's not as congested, Alex, as you think. I mean, everybody keeps bringing up DJ not having a position. That's been the case since they signed him. They signed him to be an everyday player without an everyday position. So his first game as a Yankee, he didn't start on opening day. And then I think he played like 140 games. He is there to spell Rizzo, to spell Donaldson, and to spell Gleyber Torres. He will get plenty of games. So you don't have to worry about him. The shortstop situation will be played out in spring training. The guys that make it will be the shortstop. And if it's not IKF, then they could trade him. And if it's not Volpe, then they'll send him down to the minors. But Volpe today played in an inter-squad game and had three hits. So this is a kid that's determined to make this team. And Volpe is not making the team to be a backup. Volpe would be the starting shortstop if he goes north with this team. So it's not as congested as you think. You're making it congested. Now, could they make a trade? Yes. If they know that DJ LeMahieu is 1,000% healthy with that toe, then that could open up a possibility of them trading Torres, maybe getting a pitcher for Torres, and also taking Torres $10 million off the payroll. And then if you take the $10 million off the payroll, maybe you could then sign Jurickson Profar. Because the Yankees determined not to go over the Cohen tax. They're like $3 million under it. They're not going to go over that tax. It's too punitive. Now you can say, well, Cohen went over it. Cohen has to win a World Series with the Mets. He said he wanted to win in the first 5 years. Mm. So he's willing to lose $300 million, which is the estimate that he will lose. The Yankees, I don't think they're going to do that. They're not that desperate. But by trading Glaber and opening up the $10 million, then all of a sudden it becomes a possibility that you could, in fact, do that.
Can I play the role of every Yankee fan that just heard what you said? Like, sure. Why are they not desperate?
I just don't think they are.
No, I agree with you. I think a Yankee fan heard that and go, well, if you've got Cohen in your own city that's willing to go over the tax because he feels pressure, he wants to win a championship in the first 5 years of ownership, and 1 year is already out the door, then why don't the Yankees feel the same pressure who haven't even gone to a World Series since 2009? Like that would be, I would think, on the minds of a lot of Yankee fans right now.
Well, that you know them very well. It's probably on that. Then he's not. They are not. It's been stated in the paper. They're not going over the Cohen tax. And Cohen going over the Cohen tax is infuriated a lot of baseball. He said that they're not, but believe me, owners are not happy. He's done nothing wrong. Nothing. He's followed all the rules. We'll see how it plays out. I don't think the Yankees are going to go over that tax. They've gone over three of them. They're just not going to go over the last one. Mm-hmm. They have the second highest payroll in baseball.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Just want to remind everybody, a little cross promotion, baby, that...
Why'd you say it like that?
I went into Dennis Miller. I don't know.
That was very odd.
Me and Jeff Nelson will be doing the first Yankee spring training game. It's their home opener. It's this Sunday at 1 p.m., but it is exclusively on the Yes app. Not on Yes. It's on the Yes app. The second game will be on Yes. So if you, in fact, want to see the Yankees' home opener in spring training this Sunday, you must download the free Yes
app.
Wow. How about that?
It's interesting. Why are they doing
it? The Braves against the Yankees.
But why?
I don't know. These decisions are made at a higher level than where I am.
Because you're trying to drive traffic to the app. It's a wonderful app. You can watch the Yankees. You can watch the Nets.
You can watch the show. Yep.
So if you want to drive traffic, Peter, come on, man. Get with it. Don't you know how it works?
I guess.
You give them a little taste.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's – you're not going to do it with a regular season game, so I get it. Sure, sure.
Well, you don't know that at some point.
At some point. They're not going to come out of the gate, though, and say, hey, it's opening day. Make sure you get to the app. They're not. That would have people going, I've been a Yankee fan since 1940. What? I don't – they didn't have an app. We can't have that.
The only app I had was mozzarella sticks.
That's right. That,
I enjoy it. You can have a beach blanket, a bobblehead.
How do you call an app? Let's go to Aaron. A. Aaron. A. Aaron.
It's a very popular name.
Phone. What's really?
Hey. Hey, Michael, John, Peter, the company. How are we doing?
Good. How are you? How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Wait, what'd you say? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
No, I know they were. Peter had a deep breath. I don't
know why.
Peter side. Light side. Light side.
Light side.
Okay. I've come to expect that from Mr. Rosenberg, though. All of. But anyway, so I kind of wanted to get on this Knicks conversation you guys are having. Mm-hmm. I think, to Peter's point, one guy that I can see having a little bit of a drop-off is Jalen Brunson. If you look at the stretch, I believe it's the last like 5 or 6 games that they've been winning. He's averaging a little over like 30 plus a game. So I think he's going to come back down to earth a little bit. But come playoff time, and hopefully we get into the playoffs, the thing I worry about a lot is, you know, crunch time, late game management. It hasn't really been Tibbs' strong point. Like if you look at any time they come out of a timeout and need to get a bucket, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of creativity. It doesn't look like, you know, he has any kind of set plays. It seems like it's just get Julius Randle the ball and see what he can do. Just kind of want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, that's probably their play of a go-to basket is get Julius Randle the ball. And that's why I think the Knicks are not a championship-level team because they don't have that great go-to player. The best player they have to do that is Julius Randle. Now, if you're talking about a play that's put together to run off a pick and get a backdoor layup, man, you don't see it that often. What I see from the Knicks that concerns me is they do blow big leads. But that's the NBA now.
Yeah.
A 15-point lead doesn't mean that you're home free. With the 3-point shot, that's 5 possessions.
It's really sports now, too. I think all of these sports have made it so that a game isn't over. You're seeing, you know, you saw a comeback last night. The Stars blew a 3-0 lead, lost to the Blackhawks. Your football, no little lead safe. The Eagles blew a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl. I think that's kind of where things are trending, but the NBA was the first of it, right? And all these teams go on runs. But Aaron's right. How many times just we've criticized the play they drew up at the end of the game? And even Randall's supposed to be the guy. He's missed big shots. In the playoffs against the Hawks, he missed a big shot.
Yep. Let's go to Juan.
Juan.
In Myrtle Beach. Juan.
Hey, what's going on? How's everyone today?
Good. You?
Good, good. Enjoying the 80-degree weather.
Nice. Not that here.
Rubbing it in.
Well, it was cold last week. Well, for here.
Right. And it was warm last week.
Yeah. But and I wanted – remember like a few weeks ago I talked to you about Aaron Rodgers and we were talking about his Q rating and him attracting all the attention. Mm-hmm. And then today you mentioned kind of movie reviews, right? I actually – the first review I ever left was – on the article that you had wrote about your – that they wrote about your retirement. Was that Marchand?
Marchand, yep. Yeah.
Marchand, okay, his article. And I never in my life had clicked on, like, one of those comment things. Michael, they were eviscerating you, right?
For retiring?
And
for every article, well, I guess, the speculation.
Yeah, and no, not in the in the comments, in the comment section.
Yeah.
No, I get it, yep.
Right. So somebody wrote something. And I responded to them, and you can probably go back there and see it. And I said to them that your family thank you. Thanks them. Thanks you. Your family thanks them because they don't realize that I was in the marketing business before I had to move to South Carolina. And it's 2023. Any eyeballs is eyeballs, period, blank. And you know what? For every bad person, that whether they listen to the show or not, and they say something negative, there's going to be that other contrarian who's going to say, let me turn it on to see if this guy's right. And that's all somebody like me would want.
Okay, thanks, Juan.
I appreciate that one.
But I'm sure that that's everybody's game with these players now, is there's no such thing as bad publicity. Get yourself out there. You're going to get ripped anyway, right? There's going to be people that hate Aaron Rodgers if he kept his mouth shut and didn't say anything.
But the
so
point
what does
Michael
he care
making...
if he gets a little bit more publicity and some more people rip him? So what? They're going to rip him anyway. I'm sure that's their logic.
But what Michael was saying the other day, and I agree, is like in the case of sports, though, it's not all good. All press is good press because you don't need it. Like a radio show, you can make the argument all press, good press, whatever, because you want ears, because ratings pushes dollars, etc. These athletes don't need press. The Packers are selling out every game at Lambeau, no matter
right.
what he does. So, like, what it can do is create distraction. They're already rich beyond all means, regardless of who shows up. Michael, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just attention. For whatever reason, people crave attention. You would think Aaron Rodgers has enough of it, but I guess he figures if he's quiet and doesn't, you know, display all the different ways he's making a decision, then he's out of sight, out of mind until the day he makes it. But with all the fame and all the fortune and all the playoff appearances in the Super Bowl ring, let's face it, he still likes to be talked about.
I don't even think it's that, Don. I think he likes to be talked about negatively. I think he gets a charge out of that.
Well, that's all part of it.
He seeks negative publicity. He seeks people ripping him.
Yeah, but you know what we saw with Kyrie? You'll get a lot of people ripping you and a lot of people defending you. It just ups the volume, right? Like, he's being talked about. Yeah, there's negative talk, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that blindly defend him. They do that in Green Bay, or people that just want to be that guy. So you're being talked about. And so whether it's negative or positive, he is in the conversation. And I'm sure there's interest in the fact that, you know, 1,000 miles away in New York, you know, he's been the lead of the show 4 out of 5 every 5 days until he makes his decision. I'm sure he loves that.
Tony in Manhattan. Tony.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. You?
Quoting the great Bill Veeck, there are two seasons, winter and baseball. And I'd like to talk about, and I think, Michael, you and I are on the same page with this incredibly stupid ghost runner on second during extra innings.
Mm-hmm.
If they are going ahead with that, and it's, apparently they are, why don't they put the ghost runner on second with one out?
Because I guess that defeats the purpose, because then if they put the runner at first with no outs, you could just bunt him to second. I would say if you're really locked into a ghost runner, then do it in the 12th inning.
But I agree with that. First of all, the concept to me is incredibly ridiculous. But if you're going to put the ghost runner on second, starting in extra innings, put the one out in effect, because the first play would be a bunt. You get him to third, and then a fly ball scores him. But if you have one out, then basically, if you do bunt him, you got two outs,
but Tony, they want the game to end.
That's why they don't
want one out. They want the game to end.
Right. They want
that. As much as that's the rational thing to do, no one does it.
Right.
The only one, you should never do it at the top of an inning, because it's easy to score in the bottom of the inning. But if the team in the top of the inning doesn't score, you should bunt.
Yeah.
Bumped him to third, and then there's so many ways you could get him in. But if you make it one out, Tony, then you're defeating the purpose of having the runner there.
Because Tony doesn't realize they want the game to end.
Right.
You know, so otherwise they would just get rid of it. But they don't want to get rid of it because they want the game to end. All right? They don't think it's particularly sexy or aesthetically pleasing to put a runner at second base. They're putting a runner at second base because they figure that's a quicker way to get the game over with. Bunt them over to third, sacrifice fly, game's over. Like that's what they're hoping to do. Or at least have some more action, but have the game end. And we have seen, Michael, since then, I think, what's the longest game? I think 13 innings we've seen since they put the ghost runner at second in the last two seasons?
Something like that.
So that's what, for so it's working the way they want it to work. So they wouldn't like Tony's idea.
Let's go to Carmine in Englewood.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to possibly propose another bet for Don based on his Yankees and Mets win total stake.
Carmine, your phone is a really bad phone, so you're going to have to call back on a better line. I'm really, really sorry. Let's go to Shaq in Edison. Shaq.
There he is.
Wait. I'm the only one to make bets with Don. Hold on.
There you go. You're the only one that wins it.
Yes, but Peter, I'm going to need you to buckle up. I got some encouraging news for your Commanders.
Okay.
And you guys would say that I'm pretty good at predictions, right?
Well, I mean, let's calm down, Jack, but go ahead.
But that was still a pretty big one.
It was a good one. No, he's right.
All right, so Eric Bieniemy officially, you know, had the press conference today. This is going to be one of the best hires you guys have ever had, ever. He was an outstanding coach in KC, as you guys know. He's going to turn Jahan Dotson into an all-pro. Jahan Dotson is going to be the best player on that team. Terry McLaurin will be, you know, outstanding as usual. And, of course, you guys know he was also the running backs coach in KC before the offensive coordinator. You guys have Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson. You guys are going to be a real contender this year. I'm telling you. So just buckle up.
You skipped, Shaq. I love everything you're saying. I love every word you're saying. Yep. You did skip one piece of this puzzle, though. Don, you know where I'm going here?
Yeah, well, the biggest piece.
Yeah, who's throwing Jahan and Terry the football? That's my concern.
I'm glad you said that because once upon a time, you know, Patrick Mahomes played at the end of the season, one game at the end of the season. Right. I thought Sam Howell played pretty good at the end of that
Shaq.
Game.
Oh, my God. Don't you. Next, Shaq, right. We love you. Enjoy
he flew
the season.
Too close to
no,
the sun.
No, don't hang out. No,
no
don't
he's
hang
flying
up on
too
Shaq.
Close to the sun.
Yeah, he flew
he's
too
making
close
Mrs.
To the sun.
Howell out to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Mahomes was, what, the 10th overall pick in the draft?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, some Sam's, people do get a little, they're he, a little
you
too
know,
much
he got
in
a little
feels.
Too cocky. You know what? He got a little out of line himself.
No, he got a little out of line. Now, listen, though, let's just remember this moment. If somehow he's right next year, then he becomes Shaq Stradamus.
Then he replaces Michael. Then we force Michael into retirement, and it becomes the Shaq show.
You might have to force me. A lot of games tonight back on the NBA slate. A lot of games to bet, Peter. I think you know that.
Come on, do a hardwood.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, we'll see how this plays. I thought I've worked on it all day. I think Peter's on board. We'll see what happens with Michael. It is now time for the Daily Don driven by Nissan. The DJ and you should like this, Peter.
I knew it.
It is the top five greatest songs of all time that are more than 10 minutes long.
Oh, my God. Ugh. More than 10 minutes long.
Yeah, so if the DJ had to go to the bathroom, they're throwing this song on. Who are you taking out?
Can I go first since I don't know much?
Sure. I don't know much either, so go ahead.
Inagata DeVita.
Inagata DeVita. Great pull, Michael. It's the quintessential long song. I have it at number 3 by Iron Butterfly. It's 11 minutes and 5 seconds long. It got as high as number 30 on the top 40. Inagata DeVita, which is supposed to be in the Garden of Eden, but Peter, they were so wasted that they came out as Inagata DeVita. I've got it at number 3. Great pull, Michael. Great pull.
The only one that I really can offer to this, frankly, is the long version of Rapper's Delight.
How long is the long version of Rapper's Delight?
15 minutes
long. How about that? All right, that's a good one. I don't have it on my list. Who are you taking out?
I don't know, because I don't know what's there.
You should know one of them, Peter.
I mean, Stairway's not 10 minutes, right?
No.
It's a normal length song.
Is American Pie 10 minutes?
Eight and a half.
Oh.
See, your brains are working. You're there. You're firing around
How
the target.
About Shine On You Crazy Diamond by Pink Floyd?
I have it as my honorable mention. Hmm. Who are you taking out? because it's my list. I do like that song, and I did have it as an honorable mention.
I think I have one that you'll like. Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. I didn't put on because it's a metal song, and I like it, but it's not an iconic Iron Maiden song, so why would it be in the top five greatest long songs of all time? I do not have Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, although I do like it, off of the Power Slave album.
I'm looking now. I'm, like, looking through stuff. How about Free Bird?
Oh, Peter, great job. It's a great poll, and it's number one. Ten minutes and 7 seconds long, got as high as number 11. Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, number one.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Didn't make ten minutes. Very good. I think it's like 750.
Yeah,
it's close to eight. It's a good one.
It's still in the range of remotely normal. Because once you're up by 10, you're just,
by the way, all these songs that charted, they edited the hell out of them. But these are the album versions, so... Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, number one. In the Gata Devita by Iron Butterfly, number three.
Now,
I think you know these. One of them you definitely know. I think Peter definitely knows it. It's a classic.
What about November Rain's not 10 minutes, is it?
It might. I'm not putting Guns N' Roses on my list. I'm sorry. Not doing it. Coma. I could have put them. That song's over 10 minutes. I'm not doing it.
How about Thick as a Brick by Jethro Tull?
No.
About The End by The Doors?
He's just looking. Now he's just reading off a list, but not even thinking of it.
That's all right. Whatever gets him engaged.
I'm coming up with titles that I wish was a segment.
All right.
The
End by The Doors, number two. The 11 minutes and 41 seconds long. Rolling Stone in 2010, it had the 336th greatest song of all time, and it is featured heavily in Apocalypse Now, which I watched on the way home from Vancouver and got me into this list. The End by The Doors, off their first album, number two.
Oh, I didn't know this was this long. How about Moments in Love by Art of Noise?
No.
Really,
I didn't know
song.
It either.
I don't know if I guessed this one. Down by the River, Neil Young?
I do not have Neil Young on the list, no.
One
of these songs charted 14, the other one 8. So these are, but again, I don't know how deep you go because they're both older than Peter.
Both older than me?
Well, one of the songs you know, you just don't know it's that long because it's always edited when it's played, but on the album, it's 12 minutes and 4
seconds. I Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf.
That's not 10 minutes long.
It is.
I do love that song.
That's what I see here, though.
So 11. You're ripping me for looking things up, and you're looking things up.
But I acknowledge it. That's the difference. I acknowledge it.
Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands by Bob Dylan.
I'm not going to go a Bob Dylan song that I'm not familiar with.
Do you know that Anthony Greek said he should rename this Best Songs to Get a Lap Dance to?
You know what? It's a great poll by Anthony Greek.
Sure
is
family.
Who now we know not only has a gambling problem, but goes straight to the strip club after.
All right,
how about Disco Inferno?
No. All right. Okay. We're running out of time.
No, we're not. I'm getting deep. Now I want to know more. Hold on. No. See, Michael, you would have thought Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, but it's only 7-something.
Yeah, that's a great
Captain
song.
Captain Jack is 7-something.
That's a great song.
American Pie, as you mentioned, is 8:30.
Yeah.
How about the I Am the Resurrection by the Stone Roses?
No.
Thought
Autobahn
about it?
By Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk is a very interesting band from Germany, by the way.
Really, the way it's spelled, I would assume that.
Well, the audience doesn't know that. These are two bands that you've heard of.
Well, I hope you should have heard of Kraftwerk as well. But
I did.
I know you have. But band we should have. And what are the lengths at, Don?
12:04 and 10:56.
All right, we got 15 seconds.
Yeah,
just
we're gonna. I'm gonna give it number four, The Temptations. Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Wow.
I love that bass line. It's one of the best bass lines ever. Got as high as number 14. They always play a shorter version, but you're familiar with the song, right?
Yeah.
Papa Was a Rolling Stone. And the other one, maybe not so much, I'm Losing You by Rare Earth. I can't bear the thought of losing you. Got as high as number 8 in the top 40 by Rare Earth. I think one of the only white bands to be on Motown. So Free Bird by Leonard Skinner, number one. The End by The Doors, number two. Into Gotta DeVita by Iron Butterfly, number three. Papa Was a Rolling Stone by The Temptations, number four. I'm Losing You by Rare Earth, number five. The shortest song on the list was Free Bird at 10:07.
Well, Steve Brzezinski probably sums it up best when he said, Anthony Greek is a flat-out degenerate, and I need to be friends with him. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.